This is Fresh Air. Terry Gross is on vacation. I'm Neil Conan. Alejandro Amenábar's new film, The Others, opened in theaters around this country last weekend. It's a horror movie about a mother and her two children who live in a big, creepy house on the British island of Jersey, just off the coast of France, at the end of the Second World War. Amenábar is a Spanish director making his first English-language movie with Nicole Kidman as his star. He also wrote The Others and composed the music, which sets the gothic tone at the very beginning of the film.
Now, children, are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. This story started many thousands of years ago, but it was all over in just 7 days. All that long, long time ago, none of the things we can see now, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, the animals and plants, not a single one existed. Only God existed, and so only he could have made them, and he did.
The opening sequence from the new movie, The Others. Director Alejandro Amenábar joins us now on the line from Madrid. Welcome to Fresh Air.
Hi. How are you doing?
Why did you decide to introduce this film to us as a fairy tale? That's Once Upon a Time we just heard there.
Well, I think it was just inspiring to me. But I think there is also a homage to The Night of the Hunter, which starts in a very naive way. And since I was brought up in Catholicism when I was a kid, and I used to hear all these stories about the Bible, and the way they tried to tell them to us was like trying to make them really, really entertaining. Mm-hmm. I thought that could be interesting. And I wanted to put the audience in the role of a child, trying to feel themselves as children.
There are a lot of contradictions in Grace, the mother, the Nicole Kidman character. I mean, for one thing, she is a very devout Catholic with a very firm idea of what the afterlife is supposed to be. And we're going to hear a scene here where she drills her children, who are played by Alakina Mann and James Bentley, on their Bible lessons.
I see. So you both would have lied to the point of denying Christ. Oh, you'd have saved your heads being chopped off by the Romans, that's true. But what would have happened afterwards?
When?
In the next life. The one that's waiting for us after we die. Where would you have gone?
Oh.
Where, Nicholas?
To the children's limbo.
What is the children's limbo, Anne?
One of the four hells.
Which are?
Me.
No. Let him answer. Which are?
There's the hell where the damned go. Then there's purgatory.
Yeah.
And the bosom of Abraham, yeah, where the just go, and limbo where children go.
At the center of the earth, where it's very, very hot. That's where children go who tell lies, but they don't just go there for a few days. Oh, no. No, they're damned. Forever. Think about it. Try to imagine the end of eternity. Close your eyes. Close your eyes and try to imagine it. Forever. Pain. Forever.
That was a scene from The Others. My guest is the director, Alejandro Amenábar. At the same time, though, that she's going through this fire and brimstone theology, there's nothing in her faith that will explain the creepy things that are going on around her.
Yeah. For me, that was tricky to have this opposition between religion and ghosts, because for me it was important that she would realize that she would accept this ghost world in a different way once she is able to realize that she hasn't got the complete truth. Mm-hmm. And that was tricky because supposedly ghost tradition has to do with religious tradition. So I had to set it up in the opposite way.
I don't want to give too much away for those who haven't seen The Others, but on the metaphysical level, there is no religious confrontation in the movie. There is no battle between good and evil here.
Oh, yeah. That was a very important thing for me when I decided to do this story, which has to do a lot with the tradition, Gothic tale, and because I think that many times these Victorian stories end up with the same battle between good and evil. And I wanted to explore something much complexer, at least for the characters, to find out at the end. So at the end, it's not about being good and evil, and it's not about this house burning or exploding. It's something much more quieter and subtle.
There are very few, if any, special effects in this movie, and when creepy stuff happens, you tend to show us not the action, what's happening, you show us people's reaction.
Yeah, actually, that's in my three films. For instance, if I did a film about violence, I try the audience to be aware of it and try to mean that or to tell them something. I think I would put the camera on the faces of the actors. I find it much more interesting, and the whole thing about mystery. For instance, in this movie, it's about not showing the monster. This is something that many, even producers, would agree about. But in the end, many times, I think that horror films, and I'm very fond of this genre, end up being a parade of special effects. So that's what I prefer to play with hidden things. And also because I always try to look for a subjective point of view. I try to adopt the point of view of one of the characters and try to put the audience with them, the audience go with them. And that has to do with not seeing, with discovering things with the movie.
You are not only the director of this movie and the writer of the movie, but also the composer of the music. And at the same time, a lot of people, in speaking about this movie, talk about how quiet it is.
Yeah, it's for me, silence is a very important element even to create suspense. And when we are talking about a film about ghosts, and we could think about all these special effects and ghosts flying around, ghosts walking through walls. We also could think about sound effects. And I think that sometimes in many movies it's just becoming insane, the level of the mixes. So
By that you mean how loud they are?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like sometimes it seems that you need to have earplugs when you go to the movies. And I think it's important to have the audience and have them really paying attention to what the characters are saying. And sometimes the characters are in silence and they're listening things. And so I wanted the audience to be in the same position, in a very, very natural and quiet level. And I think that's not against suspense, that's not against horror, that's not against emotions. It's just setting the movie in its natural place.
You've written the music to all of your movies. Did you start as a musician or as a filmmaker?
I think actually I started as a musician. I never studied music, but I started to be interested on soundtracks when I was a child. And so I used to listen to soundtracks, and then I started to write my little tales and to compose the music for those tales without knowing what that actually meant. And I also did the drawing for the tales. So I think that all that ended up being director, writer, and composer. But it was actually the three aspects of it. Composing is it was really for fun at the beginning. I did it in my short films, and then my producers asked me to try in my first feature film.
But this is the work of a very accomplished musician.
Oh, thank you. As I said, I never studied music. I've been told to, but I think at this point it would really delay me when I'm writing. I have to be focused on writing, then I have to be focused on directing, and then I have to be focused on composing. So I never have time to really learn music. And I help myself with computers. I always worked with keyboards, and now with a computer with a multi-track, and so I can with samples, so that I can really play very close, similar sounds to the final performance of the orchestra. And of course, I work with, in this time, I worked with three orchestrators.
My guest is Alejandro Amenábar, composer, writer, and director of the new movie, The Others. We'll be back after a short break. This is Fresh Air. Our guest is director Alejandro Amenábar. His new film is The Others. Now, you wrote The Others originally in Spanish?
Yeah, I did.
And you are now in Madrid, as I understand it, you're dubbing the film from English into Spanish.
Exactly.
Are you using your original script?
Yeah, well, actually, that's one of my intentions. Of course, no, you have to be based on the English version, because, of course, there were changes. Because when we translated into English, we didn't want it to sound like a translation. So we had to change things, and of course, when you shoot a film, you do changes and during shooting. But now I'm trying to get back some of the freshness of the original Spanish version for the dubbing version. But it's very close to the English version.
This movie is a star vehicle. You really needed Nicole Kidman or an actress, a very good actress, to carry a lot of this film. Stars, though, when you sign a real star, that comes with an awful lot of baggage. There's an awful lot that goes with it.
Yeah, what happened in this case is that the movie was increasing and being bigger. But in the beginning, it was meant to be a very, very simple and very small film shot in South America. That was my first idea. And I would say it's a weird film from the production point of view. There are money and forces from Hollywood and from Spain, but we try to preserve the nature of the film.
Did you ever worry about losing control?
Well, that's the obsession of any director, losing control. I think that was my first obsession when I directed my first film when I was 23, because I thought that nobody was going to pay me attention because I was so young. And that was my first obsession, but then that wasn't a problem at all. And then in the second film, my obsession was the contrary. I thought that maybe now everybody was going to say yes to anything I said, and that's scary too. And in this case, because you see how the project is really getting bigger, you think that you could lose control, but it wasn't the case at all. And I think we all had an excellent relationship, actually, based on respect.
You were working with one of the most glamorous couples in the world, your star Nicole Kidman and her then husband, executive producer Tom Cruise. Then, while The Others is still in production, they announced their plans to divorce. Now, what was it like to work amid what must have been a media circus?
Well, it's something inevitable. These things happen, and but the important thing to me is that Tom, as executive producer, and Nicole, as the star of the film, they have been incredibly supportive with the film with me. They were the other day in LA at the premiere, giving their support to the film. So I'm very proud of them, and I think they are very, very professional.
Tom Cruise stars in a remake of your earlier film, Open Your Eyes. It's been retitled Vanilla Sky, and as I understand, it's scheduled to open up later this year. You were at least informally asked if you wanted to direct the remake.
Yeah, informally, as you say.
You turned it down.
Yeah, but I think we all realized, and Tom and I realized that it shouldn't have been the project that I had to do, because it was very close. The film I just had done, Open Your Eyes, and I had this script already written, and I think it's better for someone else with new energy, with new input, and with new talent to have the project with energy, basically. And I haven't seen anything of the film at all, but they deserve to do their film. I'm very proud of it, and I'm not concerned at all.
I'm speaking with Alejandro Amenábar. His new film is The Others. Now, when you were growing up, you have clearly, by looking at your films, you've seen an awful lot of American and English movies.
Well, actually, yeah, I was... I started watching Hollywood films, American films, when I was a child. I was 10 years old, and I started to watch them on video. And I used to like the horror films especially. And I think that's how I became interested. But
Them on video?
Yeah, I started on video. And then when I was a teenager, I started to go to the movies, actually to the theater. And I discovered how wonderful it is. But yeah, I started watching first TV.
You were born in Chile, but grew up in Madrid.
Yeah, exactly.
And where were all these American movies?
Where?
Who had them? Where did?
Yeah, actually, it was an American neighbor that we had, a couple, and they had video in the 80s at the beginning when nobody still had in Spain, and then invited my brother and I to the house to watch these movies, and that's how I became interested. Actually, the man, the husband, he always appears in my films.
Really?
It's a kind of homage, yeah, he always appears.
He's the
In the others, he's one of the dead people in the Book of the Dead.
So this is your Hitchcock homage as well.
Yeah, I like that kind of cameos.
I wanted to play a scene from your first feature film. This is a scene in the cafeteria of a film school. Girl has just met boy, and they're studying at separate tables, listening to music on their headphones, a separate headphone, separate music. And when you edited this, we hear his music when the camera is shooting from his point of view, and her music when we're seeing what she sees, and we hear the sound of the cafeteria when there's a shot of both of them. Let's listen. Boy Meets Girl on the soundtrack of the film Thesis. And Alejandro Amenábar, that film is titled Thesis. Are we listening to the work of the diligent film student there?
Of a diligent?
Diligent, hardworking film student.
No, I wasn't at all. I was a very bad student, actually. I used to be a very good student because I wanted to study film. I thought that would be the less boring studies when I got to the university, and unfortunately, it was a disaster. I got really, really bored, and I started then to be a very bad student. But I did short films instead.
You failed the directing course, in fact.
Yeah, but these things happen. I mean, it's just I understand that. As I said, I wasn't very, very good student because I had the feeling that I wasn't really studying anything that could help me in this profession. And actually, the real learning started when I did my first film.
What was the purpose of that cross-cutting in the cafeteria scene? You're establishing the idea, it seems to me, that there's going to be point of view of camera work.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing that it was in the script originally. And when I shot it and I mixed it, my producer was completely against it. He actually didn't like it. But to me, it was important because it has to do with a subjective point of view, which is always, for me, very, very important. And in this case, associated to sound, to music, and how reality can change the perception of reality, change the sound. And sound is so important in my films, and especially in that first one. So that's why I thought it was very, very important playing with that change of music.
There are a lot of jokes in that first movie about the movie business and about film school. At one point in the movie, the class of film students is told that their professor has died while watching a movie in a screening room. And one of your characters then says the wisecrack, it must have been Spanish.
Well, when people used to ask about that in Spain, I always said that was what the character would have said, because actually that character was based in a very close friend of mine who used to hate Spanish movies. And I like that kind of joke. But for me, the whole theme about setting this plot of a snuff movies in a university, I think that was a kind of joke there.
What are you working on next? What's your next project?
Going to Venice to present the film. And then come back to Spain, release at last the film in Spain, and then have long holidays. Honestly, I haven't thought about my next film yet. I always need to get rid of my previous work in order to think about the next one. Always.
Alejandro Amenábar, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Alejandro Amenábar's new movie is The Others. His previous film, Open Your Eyes, has been remade in English as Vanilla Sky. That picture is due out later this year. I'm Neil Conan. This is Fresh Air.